Hello, Marion Pallister, Vice Chair of Justice and Peace Scotland here, gearing up for the Justice and Peace Scotland conference in September, when we'll reflect on Pope Francis' document Laudato Si. One of our speakers is the Scottish-Irish academic Dr. Lorna Gold, a woman who is bold enough to say on her website, "If you ever want to find me, you can find me outside Leinster House, Dublin, most Fridays at 1 p.m. And what would she be doing there if you went to look for her? Well, she'd be carrying a placard saying Climate Strike Ireland. Because Lorna is a climate campaigner and she is passionate about the impact of climate change. Even if she didn't know the science inside out, she'd be standing at that place on Fridays because she has two sons and she is deeply, deeply concerned about their future. We at Justice and Peace Scotland are also deeply concerned. It's why we travelled to London last month to campaign at Westminster, and it's why we're bringing together experts on different aspects of the effects of climate change to talk at our conference on September 21st. I'm not going to apologise for talking about the issue again here on Radio Alba, because as Lorna says, there is no bigger question for citizens, parents and grandparents today. When Pope Francis' Laudato Si encyclical was published 4 years ago, it went viral. It may have been the leader of the Catholic Church who reminded us that we should be caring for our common home, but the message spoke to millions around the world of all faiths and none. Ironically, in Scotland there are probably more Church of Scotland ministers than Catholic parishes using the Scottish Catholic International Aid Fund's booklet produced to help us make practical changes in our lives to combat climate change. That booklet that was published on the back of the encyclical is now being updated because we now know so much more needs to be done so much more quickly. Lorna Gold points out that while it is a natural reaction to protect our children from all danger, we seem to be ignoring the biggest danger of all to their well-being, to their future. She has campaigned with the Irish organisation that equates with SCIAF, Trochaer, and her book Climate Generation will be available at our September conference. She's worked with Professor John Sweeney, Ireland's top climate change experts, and says she has felt overwhelmed by the graphs he has presented to politicians, graphs which show that the targets of 2050, the aim of Westminster to reduce carbon emissions, and even 2045, the Scottish government's more ambitious target year, are just not bold enough to save the future for our children and grandchildren. I was talking with a friend today about the fact that many of the trees here in my home diocese of Argyll and the Isles are already turning autumnal. Lorna Gold recalls seeing daffodils in bloom last December. I bet you can think of loads of similar examples of our common home being turned upside down. As Pope Francis said in Laudato Si, the earth, Mother Earth, now cries out to us because of the harm we have inflicted on her by our irresponsible use and abuse of the goods with which God has endowed her. We have come to see ourselves as her lords and masters, entitled to plunder her at will. Tough words, and that plundering has led to the climate chaos we are now experiencing. An English village was evacuated because excessive rain damaged a dam that prevents homes from being drowned by flood water, and meanwhile the people of Zimbabwe, Zambia and Malawi are experiencing their third drought of the past 3 years, which not only means that many are going hungry, but that the hydro-driven electricity supplies are down to crisis levels. We'll be hearing from someone from Malawi at the September conference. The day-to-day effects of climate change on Maggi Ngwira are devastating. Industrial countries in the north have, for almost 200 years, inflicted the harm of which Pope Francis speaks. And we have been aware for decades, yes, decades, of what he calls our irresponsible use and abuse of the goods with which God has endowed her. We've ignored what the scientists have been telling us, or we've put their warnings on hold. We've gone la 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 la, because for us it's been something to act on in the future, not now. But now we are listening to the voices of children like Greta Thunberg and mothers like Lorna Gould, who are telling us loudly and very clearly that if we don't act now, there won't be a future. The time has run out for listening and shaking our heads in sorrow. We've got to add our voices to the clamour for more immediate action. At our September conference, there'll be other experts with a range of information. The overall message is that we care for the environment, for our common home. The campaign that Scotland's Justice and Peace organisation has been running all of this year. And that's where we actually have to do something. Let's not just be a voice against climate change, let's do something practical. I have a friend, Louise, who tried for a plastic-free July. Her experience led her into a plastic-free August, and what she hopes will become a plastic-free environment here in Mid-Argyll. Her village held an event at which environmentally friendly products were on sale, and it was a roaring success. Social media has become a swap shop of ideas to care for the planet. Use soap nuts, which are soap-free and totally natural, for laundry, washing and shampooing. Get toothpaste made from natural ingredients and in a glass jar, not a tube that goes into landfill. Dental floss is also available in a little glass vial, and neither the toothpaste nor the floss work out more expensive than the supermarket landfill fillers. Buying food that isn't swaddled in layers of plastic is more difficult, but the more we choose the loose apples over the packaged apples and take our container to buy meat or cheese, the more the supermarkets are getting the message that too many of us want to save the planet and they're going to have to react to our message. We're beginning to see it as cool to offer up our own mug when we buy a coffee, so why don't we make it equally cool to do a Louise and present our own container at the butcher's, cheese and fish counters? And we don't need plastic straws. Children's drinks and adult cocktails can be consumed through a biodegradable paper straw that won't end up stuck in the nostril of a turtle. And I've seen the pictures. These things do get stuck in the nostrils of turtles and in the beaks of birds. It is a tragedy because we want something plastic for our drinks. There are other ways of celebrating a birthday or commemorating a death than by letting off a string of balloons that will kill a calf or strangle a bird. Someone on social media suggested it would help to solve this particular problem if Facebook didn't let off its own virtual balloons every time anyone types the word congratulations. But surely we're big enough to be able to find other ways to celebrate without social media telling us how. And as Catholics accustomed to not eating meat on a Friday, couldn't meat eaters stretch that another day and have a meat-free Monday that will further cut the methane that's adding to the Earth's problems? The scientists and governments, we hope and pray, are working to cut industrial emissions, But we can't let ourselves be seen as the plunderers of Mother Earth, as Pope Francis suggested, using and abusing the goods God has given us. I know that nostalgia is a dangerous tool, but we did less damage to the earth before we were persuaded that eating red meat on a daily basis was a good thing. We can see from the obesity statistics that are today linked to heart disease and cancer that it's only a good thing for those making a profit from its production and sale. The World Cancer Research Fund says that if you do eat red meat, it should be limited to about 3 portions a week, equivalent to a total of 350 to 500 grams cooked weight, or, in old money, 12 to 18 ounces a week in total. This saving the planet stuff is good for us. The figures that relate the methane given off by cattle to the damage done to the Earth's atmosphere suggest we should be aiming to make ourselves healthier by eating less meat and thereby reducing the number of factory farms where, as we know, cattle don't have much of a life. I know that Louise won't make her life completely plastic-free, but the more Louises there are attempting to change their lifestyles, the better our chance of helping to bring down the emissions that are killing, yes, killing, the common home we share. Professor Brian Cox's wonderful TV series about the planets showed the drastic effects a change in atmosphere can have. In the past, these changes have happened naturally over many, many millennia. For 200 years, however, human activity industrializing this planet has accelerated and altered whatever nature had in store. I'm trying. I have a bathroom cabinet restocked with deodorant, toothpaste, floss, cotton buds, soap and shampoo bars and moisturiser that are all made from ingredients that don't mess with our waterways, are contained in glass or cardboard and were delivered with no plastic packaging. I bought loo rolls wrapped in plastic, in paper, not plastic, sorry, and I shop with the motto, no excuse for single use, flashing virtually over my head every time I approach anything that is plastic. But I've got cosmetics encased in plastic, and yes, there are some alternatives, but most are still beyond my budget. I travel by car because I live in a rural area that doesn't do buses well, and my car is fueled by lead-free petrol because to date I can't afford an electric alternative, however much I'd like one. I don't do short-haul flights, but I do fly to Zambia because that's where the charity I'm involved with operates. I reuse, recycle and reduce. I don't eat meat and haven't done for decades, but I do buy sachets of the stuff for my cat, and those sachets go into landfill. And I'm persuading her to eat the tinned stuff because tins can be recycled, but she's not been listening enough to Greta Thunberg and turns her nose up. I hope you'll come to Justice and Peace Scotland's conference on September 21st. You can book through our website, because Lorna Gold and our other speakers will make much more sense of this than I have. But here in the Diocese of Argyll and the Isles, we experience the spirituality of Celtic heritage that cares for our common home, and we do try, and we hope that everyone will try. This prayer is from J. Philip Newell's Celtic Prayers from Iona. There is no plant in the ground but tells of your beauty, O Christ. There is no life in the sea but proclaims your goodness. There is no bird on the wing, there is no star in the sky. There is nothing beneath the sun but is full of your blessing. Lighten my understanding of your presence all around, O Christ. Kindle my will to be caring for creation. I thank you for listening, for sharing that prayer, and for working towards the saving of our common home. Thanks.